Wake by Artis Astra. Rodney has a night flight, a red eye across the country with Carson's body to Dover AFB in Delaware. From there, he has a day flight across the Atlantic to London, and then a short hop to Stirling. Rodney is taking Carson home. 24 hours from now, he will be with Carson's family, trying to explain. Dr. Cole says she is tired, and no wonder. She doesn't know the rest of them that well, and the guilt sits heaviest on her. Carson took her shift, and he was killed. "I'm just going to lie down for a while," she says, and it's not like the SGC doesn't have places to do it. There are transient quarters that are pretty nice now. John knows. He was here for 6 weeks when the expedition was reassigned to Earth 3 months ago. Which is why there's plenty of time. After Rodney's left for the flight, John tries to get a dial-out time. "Colonel Shepard," General Landry says shortly, "we have lots of scheduled gate traffic tonight, and teams due to call in. Oddly enough, we don't run the SGC for the convenience of the Atlantis expedition." John winces inwardly. Still pissed about John disobeying a direct order and stealing the jumper 3 months ago. He's not really surprised. He was actually kind of surprised Landry couldn't make good on his threat to court-martial him, but he supposes O'Neill intervened. He makes himself sound as professional as his Class A's imply. "When would be convenient for us to dial out, sir?" Landry pretends to consult his laptop. "We've got an opening at 0500. Have your people here sharp." "Yes, sir," John says. Crap. That's 10 hours from now. A long time to stand around the SGC, but early enough that there's no way to get a good night's sleep. Right now, all he wants is to get back to Atlantis, and he knows that Landry knows the delay chafes him. Way to make a friend, John. Cole says she's going to crash, which leaves him and Lorne and Ronan and Raddick at loose ends. Lorne loosens his tie a fraction. "I guess we could go get a shower and check out some BDUs so we don't have to sit around in Class A's all night." "How about some food?" Ronan says. He's a big guy. It takes a lot to fill the tank. "We could go by the mess," Lorne says, which sounds like a fairly pathetic way to send Carson off, sitting around the SGC mess all night without even a beer to toast him. "Nah," he says. "Let's get out of here. We've got 10 hours. Let's go into town and get a drink." "Somewhere with food," Ronan says. "Sure," John says. He thinks Lorne's got the right idea about changing clothes, though. A bar in service dress is pretty pointless. But Lorne used to be stationed here for about 2 years, and it's the work of 10 minutes for him to come up with a change for each of them. No Atlantis jackets, but that would be indiscreet anyway. Some BDUs and t-shirts are easy to find, though. "What about you, Dr. Zelenka?" Lorne asks. Raddick shrugs, his hands in his pockets. He's taken off his suit coat and tie, rolled up the sleeves, and now he looks like an absent-minded professor. "I would rather come with you than stay here," he says, a little uncomfortably. "Come with us," John says. "Roddick was a friend of Carson's. He ought to drink to him, too." "Seriously?" At that, Roddick brightens just a bit. "We will drink to him," he says. "Carson would like that." "Yeah," Ronan says. "That's how you do it." Lorne figures out a car, too. He's got buddies here. John files that for future reference, the next time he needs something from the SGC under the table. In 40 minutes, he's changed, and they're on their way into Colorado Springs, to this place Lorne knows, that he says serves really great burgers and won't care if they stay all night. Lorne driving his friend's car, John riding shotgun, and Roddick and Ronan rattling around in the back like mismatched marbles. He doesn't think he's ever seen a more mismatched pair of pallbearers, but that's how it goes. "Rodney must be taking off now," Roddick says, checking his watch. "Yeah." He told Rodney he'd come with him, but Rodney refused. It's a thing he has to do. John respects that. Roddick sighs. It pretty much speaks for all of them. He told Taylor it hadn't hit him yet. It hasn't. Quite. He can't get rid of the idea that Carson is back in Atlantis, and tomorrow he'll walk through the Stargate and amble down to the infirmary, and there he'll be. He knows it's not true, but it feels like it is. The burgers are as good as Lorne said they were, and the butt on tap is cold. Roddick's drinking Heineken, and Ronan's eating a huge plate of wings to follow up the burger, and the music is loud enough to cover conversation being heard at the next table, so they don't have to be all that careful what they say. The place is full of airmen and a bunch of academy cadets. They stick out a little. Okay, they stick out a lot. Ronan's the only guy in the place with dreads, and Roddick's the only one in the place who doesn't look like military or a vet. He and Lauren are hard to place in their black t-shirts and BDUs, no names, no insignia. But people ought to be used to some weird stuff around here, with the SGC and all, even if less than half of the stories he's heard are true. "To Carson," Roddick says, and raises his bottle. "Carson," Ronan says, putting his glass in. "This how they do it on Satita?" John asks as he and Lauren join the toast. He figures it is. Ronan nods seriously. "Except, we usually end the evening with a bar fight." "We try not to do that," Lauren says. "Why not?" John thinks there must be a good answer to that, but he can't think of it right that minute. A bar fight sounds pretty good to him. Maybe that's a friendly beer haze along about number five talking, but punching someone sounds almost reasonable. "He was a good friend," Roddick says. His accent is thicker than usual. Five beers is more for him than for John. He doubts Roddick tops 150 in his shoes. "Yeah," John says. "He was never shocked by anything, no matter how strange," Roddick says. "It is him I owe my life when that ancient virus escaped quarantine." Ronan nods seriously. This must be the kind of thing he expects. Some things are universal. "He was brave," Ronan says. "When we were all crazy on that one world with the Wraith experiment that the Genii had fucked up, he got it done. He stuck to his patients." Ronan gives John an unreadable look. Crazy, yeah. Crazy enough for him and Ronan to shoot at each other. It's a good thing he only winged him. "Anybody could talk to him," Lauren says, twirling his beer glass around and around in his hands. "About anything, no matter how bad. We're screwed without him." It goes without saying why, and John knows better than to ask. The military contingent went to Carson whenever anything started to get bad. They knew nothing would go in their records, and Carson had heard it all before. John clears his throat. "He was a good doctor," he says. He knows that sounds lame, but it's the praise Carson would have valued. Now he's starting to choke up. It's starting to hit. Roddick looks like he feels the same way, his glasses slipping down his nose, and his eyes suspiciously bright. "That he was," he says, and puts his arm around John's shoulder. "He was a good doctor." Lorne nods in solemn, drunk agreement. "Hey, fag!" It takes John a second to realize someone's talking to them. He looks around. It's an academy cadet, or so he guesses from the t-shirt. A big blonde athlete, about 20, with a buzz cut that makes his head look square. "Yeah, you," the guy says. "This isn't your fag bar. We don't have you cocksuckers in here." John's feeling a little slow on the uptake, and also, it's been a really long time since some kid gave him lip. "Excuse me?" Beside him, Roddick's gone deathly still. The same expression on his face as when he sees the Wraith. "You heard me." The guy takes a couple of steps closer. He's got a friend or two, though one of them looks nervous. "Hit the road." He gives Roddick a shove, hard enough to knock him over backwards into the dishes and remains of food on the table. "Take your fag boyfriend, too." John stands up, only peripherally aware of Ronan and Lorne doing the same. "Okay," he says, and half turns. He's almost, but not quite, surprised that the guy swings at him. He wasn't sure he was really that stupid. He blocks it with his left forearm rising, and it's the moment of surprise that causes the guy to not be ready for the roundhouse. It connects with his jaw, nice and firmly, with a very satisfying whack. He staggers back against his friend. His lip is bleeding, but his eyes are murderous. "You're gonna pay for that!" "I'm good with that," John says, and then it's a free-for-all. Somebody screams, and Ronan lays the guy's friend flat with one hand. Of course, he's got more friends. The bar's full of academy kids, and about six more think it's their business. Somebody gets in a lucky punch, or maybe it's flying broken china that opens a cut across John's cheek. He's ready to let the guy have it, When you ask for it, you get it. Lorne's no slouch, and anybody who wants to mix it up with Ronan is crazy. It's about 2 minutes before they're down, sprawled in various stages of unhappy on the floor. The bartender is yelling, and the music is still pounding. "You okay?" Ronan asks, helping Roddick up. He nods swiftly, his glasses bent askew. Lorne kneels down beside the ringleader. "Kid, you are in so much trouble," he says, with a sound in his voice that's almost regretful. "How's that, fag?" the kid spits. He's got his head up, and he doesn't know when to shut up. Lorne's face hardens. "That's major fag to you. And didn't anybody ever tell you that it was a bad idea to punch a light bird?" He reads the expression change. "Yeah, oh shit. Now I want your IDs and the IDs of the rest of you brilliant young men. You're on report." Tearing up a bar is kind of frowned on, but not nearly as much as punching a senior officer. He gives the ringleader a smile. "That one's all yours, son." John takes a deep breath. Lorne cools off faster than anyone he knows. Time to back him up. "Lieutenant Colonel John Shepard, NORAD. Give your IDs to Major Lorne, all of you." The cadets start shuffling for wallets, one guy looking like he's going to cry. "Does this go on our records?" he asks. Lorne nods and starts copying down names. "If you're lucky. Your peerlessly brilliant friend here may not have a record tomorrow. He may have ended his career before he started it, if Colonel Shepard decides to press charges. Striking a superior officer is the end of the road." The ringleader looks stunned. "You can't!" "Yeah, we can." John's got no sympathy. "But I might think about it harder if you apologize to Dr. Zelenka here. See, he's a civilian contractor with NORAD, and he's also a foreign dignitary with diplomatic immunity. If he wants to complain to his embassy, it would be pretty embarrassing for the Academy, don't you think? And it's not really a good idea to embarrass the Academy. I'm sure that General Dawson, the Commandant of Cadets, won't find that very funny." "I'm sorry," the guy mutters with his eyes down. "That's not how we do it," John says. The anger that welled up in him is still boiling. Nobody should put that expression on his friend's face, not in a bar on Earth when they ought to be safe. "Try again." The guy stands up, still towering over Roddick by head, but he's shaking. "I'm sorry. I apologize for calling you a fag." Roddick doesn't say anything. He's not going to say it's all right. It isn't. Not with his glasses bent and his white dress shirt covered with food. Ronan shifts from foot to foot. He looks like a brick wall that's looking for someone to hit it. "Let's go," John says. Lorne's got the names. "Let's get the fuck out of here." He steers Roddick out the door ahead of him, into the clear spring night. Ronan's on his six, behind Lorne. "What about the apology? What about the Commandant?" the kid calls after him. "You're too stupid for the Air Force," John hears Lorne say behind him. "You don't know when to keep your mouth shut." The door swings closed behind them, and then they're getting in the car, and Lorne is easing it into gear. For a while, they just drive. They go up the mountains, and Ronan rolls the window down. It's freezing, but the cold air helps clear his head. John fiddles with the radio, but he can't get anything good. After a while, they pull off on a runaway truck ramp. It's nearly 2, and the chances of a runaway truck are slim. Everybody gets out, and Ronan goes up in the pine trees to take a leak. After a minute, Lorne goes the other way, presumably for the same purpose. Roddick is perching on the hood of the car, looking out toward the bright lights below. It's cold. John shakes his head a couple of times and goes and sits next to him. Roddick looks at him sideways, a swift, self-deprecating look. "I am, you know." "Or what?" John feels like he's missing a noun here. "A fag, or rather, I'm bisexual, but I suppose that's too big a word for them." The light reflects off his glasses, and John can't see his eyes. "They're asshats," John says. "Is it that simple?" Roddick doesn't look at him. "You're on our team. You're our friend. It's that simple," John says. They sit there for a long moment. In the distance, they can see the lights of Peterson AFB, the red and green running lights of a descending transport. Rodney must be somewhere east of the Mississippi now, flying to meet the dawn over the Appalachians, the first leg of Carson's long trip home almost completed. "Thank you." Braddock says, quietly. You shouldn't have to, John says. Ronan comes back from the woods, smiling. And I thought you guys didn't know how to give a wake. That's how you give a Satidan wake. Roddick almost chuckles. What? You get drunk, have a fight, and go piss in the woods? Pretty much. Ronan sits down on the other side of Roddick and the car dips. Gonna put those guys on report, Shepard? Damn straight, John says. Lorne's right. They're too stupid for the Air Force. Did I hear somebody say Lorne's right? Lorne asks, coming back from the other side. Yeah, John says. Lorne's a good guy to have around, a good guy to have on your side, but he knew that. Got those names for Landry? I bet he'll enjoy giving General Dawson a call tomorrow. Landry had a long-running thing about Academy cadets. This wasn't the first time the SGC had taken flak. It was probably a good thing O'Neill wasn't here. I've got them, Lorne says. Then let's get back to base, John says. Clean up, find Roddick some BDUs to change into, get some coffee. By the time we've done that, we'll be coming up on our dial-out. It'll be good to get back to Atlantis, Lorne says. No shit, John agrees.